Tales from the Jazz Age by F. Scott Fitzgerald, 1922. A Table of Contents, My Last Flappers. The Jelly Bean. This is a southern story with the scene laid out in the small Lily of Tarleton, Georgia. I have a profound affection for Tarleton, but somehow, whenever I write a story about it, I receive letters from all over the South, denouncing me in no uncertain terms. The Jelly Bean, published in the Metropolitan, drew its full share of these admonitory notes. It was written under strange circumstances shortly after my first novel was published, and, moreover, it was the first story in which I had a collaborator. For finding that I was unable to manage the crap-shooting episode, I turned it over to my wife, who, as a southern girl, was presumably an expert on the technique and terminology of that great sectional pastime. The Camel's Back. I suppose that of all the stories I have ever written, this one cost me the least travail and perhaps gave me the most amusement. As to the labor involved, it was written during one day in the city of New Orleans, with the express purpose of buying a platinum and diamond wristwatch, which cost $600. I began it at 7 in the morning and finished it at 2 o'clock the same night. It was published in the Saturday Evening Post in 1920 and later included in the O. Henry Memorial Collection for the same year. I like it least of all the stories in this volume. My amusement was derived from the fact that the camel part of the story is literally true. In fact, I have a standing engagement with the gentleman involved to attend the next fancy dress party to which we are mutually invited, attired as the latter part of the camel. This is a sort of atonement for being a historian. May Day. This somewhat unpleasant tale, published as a novelette in the Smart Set in July 1920, relates to a series of events which took place in the spring of the previous year. Each of the three events made a great impression upon me. In my life, they were unrelated except by the general hysteria of that spring, which inaugurated the age of jazz. But in my story, I have tried unsuccessfully, I fear, to weave them into a pattern. A pattern which would give the effect of those months in New York as they appeared to at least one member of what was then the younger generation. Porcelain and Pink. "And do you write for any other magazines?" inquired the young lady. "Oh, yes," I assured her. "I've had some stories and plays in the Smart Set, for instance." The young lady shivered. "The Smart Set!" she exclaimed. "How can you? Why, they publish stuff about girls in blue bathtubs and silly things like that." And I had the magnificent joy of telling her that she was referring to Porcelain and Pink, which had appeared there several months before.
Fantasies. The Diamond as Big as a Ritz. These next stories are written in what, were I of imposing stature, I should call my second manner. The Diamond as Big as the Ritz, which appeared last summer in the Smart Set, was designed utterly for my own amusement. I was in that familiar mood characterized by a perfect craving for luxury, and the story began as an attempt to feed that craving on imaginary foods. One well-known critic has been pleased to like this extravaganza better than anything I have written. Personally, I prefer The Offshore Pirate, but to tamper slightly with Lincoln, if you like this sort of thing, this possibly is the sort of thing you'll like. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. This story was inspired by a remark of Mark Twain's to the effect that it was a pity that the best part of life came at the beginning and the worst part at the end. But trying the experiment upon only one man in a perfectly normal world, I have scarcely given his idea a fair trial. Several weeks after completing it, I discovered an almost identical plot in Samuel Butler's notebooks. The story was published in Collier's last summer and provoked this startling letter from an anonymous admirer in Cincinnati. "Sir, I have read the story of Benjamin Button in Collier's, and I wish to say that as a short story writer you would make a good lunatic. I have seen many pieces of cheese in my life, but of all the pieces of cheese I have ever seen, you are the biggest piece. I hate to waste a piece of stationery on you, but I will. Tarquin of Cheapside." Written almost 6 years ago, this story is a product of undergraduate days at Princeton. Considerably revised, it was published in the Smart Set in 1921. At the time of its conception, I had but one idea, to be a poet. And the